Texas Performing Arts will be presenting Jeff Goldblum and the
Mildred Snitzer.
Orchestra on Tuesday, September 9th at Bass Concert Hall, and I'm delighted to say that Jeff Goldblum is my guest at this time on Midday Oasis. Welcome, Jeff Goldblum.
You're so nice. Thank you, Diane. Hi, everybody in Austin. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you doing this.
Well, many of us know you from your illustrious career in acting and the movies, film, stage. You probably get tired of hearing all of that, but
Oh,
the
no,
dancing,
certainly
right?
not.
The Fly, The
Yes.
Big Chill, Independence Day, Jurassic Park, of course, Wicked, which is another blockbuster, and one that my boss just told me about at the radio station, Morning Glory. It's one I had missed, but I really enjoy your interpretation of the network executives right on.
That's funny. Harrison Ford was in that movie and Rachel McAdams. Yeah, and my friend Roger Michel directed that. I liked him very much. He's no longer with us, but I did a movie in Paris with him called Le Weekend with Jim Broadbent, and it was really fun. Anyway, thank you so much. I'm a movie fan myself. I'm trying to catch up on current movies. At another time, we'll talk about that and everything I've missed through the last, 100 years too.
Right. Well, you've been performing with this band for, I read, 30 years, right? Is that correct? About 30 years?
Believe it or not, it's been, I started playing when I was a kid, but then out and about, so to speak, Peter Weller and I started after we did Buckaroo Banzai about 30 years ago. He started to play in our houses. He plays trumpet. And he said, listen to this, he said that his friend, Miles Davis, whom he knew, I know, said, hey, I know Jeff, you guys should play out and about and have a gig and it'll be fun and you'll get better and play with good musicians. And that's kind of why we started. And we did what we could at first, but it's and he is he's of course fantastic. Peter Weller, he went off and did many interesting things, but I've maintained this group whenever I wasn't acting, and we've been playing all over the place. And then several years ago, I was promoting Thor Ragnarok on the Graham Norton show in England. And the great Gregory Porter, whom I'd run into at an airport a little before that, was on the show promoting that Nat King Cole album.
Yep.
And he said, I want to do this with just a piano player. So do you know, I know, Jeff, you play piano. Can you do this on the show with me? I'm going to sing Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa, Mona
Oh,
Lisa,
well, yeah.
men have named you. And we did it. And then Tom Lewis from Decca, I'll be darned, saw us on the show and said, hey, maybe I should do an album with Jeff. And that started this whole recording business. And now we've just come out with our last and fourth album.
Yeah.
Called Still Blooming on Decca and Verve. That's kind of why we're coming to Austin. We're all over the place. We're right now in Phoenix, and it's the best band we've ever had. And on that record, is Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, whom I, just spontaneously, got to talking to, and they said, sure, we'd like to record. And my friend Scarlett Johansson has a number on it. So we're very excited about this record.
And you even sing on it too, don't you?
I even sing on it,
Yeah.
believe it or not. Yes, I
Yeah,
do.
it was Every Time We Say Goodbye. Yes, it was.
You know that song. I'll bet you sing that song.
Yes, I
Acting, I
know.
mean, Cole Porter.
Yeah. And I know, the other ones, some of the instrumentals that you did a while back, Cantaloupe Island and
Oh,
Baia,
yeah.
such.
Yes. I love Baia. I love Thelonious Monk. Anything Thelonious Monk does, yeah.
Your Horace Silver was my first big interview some 38 years ago, something like
No
that. He was
kidding, really? Oh, I love Horace Silver. We've played a song for my father and all sorts of things. I love all his playing. Wow, what was he like to talk to?
He couldn't have been lovelier. And I was young then and knew it was my first big interview, so I was really nervous. And he just calmed me down. And at the performance later that night, he even quoted a question I had asked him. Can I remember it now? No. But he's the only one who ever actually sent me a signed picture with a thank you after the interview.
You mentioned the fine orchestra. Tell us about Mildred Snitzer.
Mildred Snitzer was a real person. She was a friend of my mom's in Pittsburgh growing up. And we called ourselves the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. She lived to be 104, by the way, and got a
Wow.
chance to hear us play, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
KMFA is a classical station here in Austin, and I'm wondering,
When you started playing piano,
Yes, ma'am.
did you start playing classical piano? Was that your first instrument, and did you study that way?
Yes, that's what I did. Like a lot of kids, our parents, exposed us, thankfully and wisely. I've now got two, Emily and I have now two kids, 8 and 10, two boys, and we're giving them piano lessons and trying to do our best to, expose them to culture of one kind or another, and make their young life nutritious. But my parents, yeah, gave all four of us kids. I had two older brothers and a younger sister, lessons in, I took dance at one point, and I was just drawing and painting and this and that. But we took music lessons. My older brother Rick was fooling around with a clarinet for a while, and Pam and I used to play duets on the piano. But yes, at the beginning, I think I was around 10, and Tommy Emmel, they arranged to come over to our house once a week, and I didn't yet know the joys of discipline. I was a bad student, so I would sort of dread him coming because I hadn't practiced. I hadn't done the homework for the first couple of years. I had a little facility at it, but it was always a miserable situation in one way or another. Until he gave me a jazz arrangement of, I think the first piece was Alley Cat, and then Stairway to the Stars, and a couple more jazzy kind of things. And I just was crazy about it. I don't know why. Something in me liked the syncopated rhythm and like these new kind of chords. Because for the first couple of years, yeah, I was studying Czerny and doing all those classical things and trying to get a chops here and there. But yeah, once I got these arrangements, I really thought, oh, I'm going to sit down and play however long as it takes me and learn how to do this. And that's when I started to get a little bit better. And then they found this guy, Frank Cotamondo, who recorded and played around jazz clubs in Pittsburgh. And I went over to his house, and he gave me jazz lessons because they saw I was passionate about that. And we had some fake books around. And, it proceeded like that. And then I called some cocktail lounges around Pittsburgh and got, believe it or not, a couple of jobs when I was like 15. And they drove me there. Yeah, I'd already had my heart set on acting as a career, but this was a kind of a side, fixation and fun. And I did that. And that's kind of on parallel tracks what has developed all these decades. I went to New York and started to work in theater and kept a piano around my apartment all the time, and then snuck it into a couple of movies like Earth Girls Are Easy and The Fly. My character winds up playing in that. And then, yeah, that's what happened.
Wow, well, that's dedication to the form for sure, but so much of your life sounds like a lot of really good luck.
Well, you're telling me.
No, I mean, you're obviously very talented, but when you say I ran into Gregory Porter at the airport, then I'm on this show, like
Yes.
all these things coming together, and
Yes.
you can just call Scarlett Johansson and say, hey, do you want to sing on this? It's pretty.
Well, I'm telling you, it is luck. It's unbelievable. I thank my lucky stars every day. Scarlett Johansson and I had done a couple of Wes Anderson movies, and I've known her since she was a kid anyway, but we did Isle of Dogs and then Asteroid City. And it was at the premiere of Asteroid City in New York that we got to talking, and she said, yeah, I want to record too. I'd like to, I know your band. It just happened like that. Isn't that something? And we've recorded on other albums with Fiona Apple and Kelly Clarkson and Miley Cyrus and, Hayley Reinhardt, a bunch of people.
Yeah,
I know.
tremendous. No, well, so you have such a reach, and obviously, I have a feeling when you bring the show to us, you can tell us a little bit about it. But I feel like with all that you've done, you're a great raconteur, or as they say, bon vivant, if you want.
Well, I don't think I'm either of those things, but I do like to see people, and I'll be interested to see who shows up in Austin. I've been there before. That's a beautiful city. I love everything that goes on there. We're honored to be there, and I'll be terrifically appetized to meet everybody there. I usually wander out a little before the show starts, and we start playing games, and I like to see all your faces. You're going to be there. You're going to tap me on the shoulder when I get there.
Absolutely. If I can get through the crowd, which I'm sure will be there, but yes, I
Well,
will.
who knows? I hope. I hope people come and see us.
When you were studying classical, did you have a favorite composer before you switched to jazz? And then we'll talk about your favorite jazz musicians and composers.
Hey, that's so interesting that you should ask that. I was doing that churny stuff, and I'll bet he gave me a little Beethoven piece, and I'll bet some Bach I, started on. But he gave me those simple little Bartok things. And there was something, there was something, I haven't talked about this or remembered this, since nobody's asked this in all this time. But yes, I had this little book of Bartok, and those just tickled me, the kind of discordant and unexpected things that were, and simple, seemingly simple things that were going on, but there was something I dug about that. And I guess I can see the seed, a connection between that and, Thelonious Monk and some of the things I really like, and some of the movie scores that I really love. I like Johnny Greenwood stuff that P.T. Anderson is using, and Bernard Herrmann I've been listening to a lot. And of course, I got a chance to intersect with John Williams. And boy, that's some music. What a giant he is.
Totally, yeah. Okay, favorite jazzers.
Okay, well, my dad brought home, when it was first released, when I was a kid still in Pittsburgh, Errol Garner Plays Misty. And that was his favorite piano player. And so I came to appreciate through his music appreciation little talks, why this guy was so good. And he said, listen to how he takes pauses, and he loves those kind of octave, repeated notes. And so, I'm still into him. And then, through the years, I'm still getting, familiar, like I said, I am with movies too. The whole, backlog of jazz musicians. But let's see, Oscar Peterson, and Bill Evans and Keith Jarrett. I love, to name a few.
Well, that Bill Evans with Tony Bennett, when I was studying music jazz in Alberta, on my breaks, I'd go up to the library and they had the cassette tape of that. It was always Miles Davis, Kind of Blue, or Bill Evans with Tony Bennett, just some of the best
I
stuff.
love those two albums that they did. I listen to those all the time. I love everything they do together. That just kills me. Hey, how you like that song, When in Rome, Do as the Romans
Yes,
Do?
yes.
So good. And then Bill Evans always takes a solo, and it's just delicious,
Oh, yeah.
excruciatingly delicious.
Blossom Dearie also did a nice version in Rent, When in Rome. You probably have
Oh,
heard.
I haven't heard that. Oh, that's good. I'll write that down.
Have you ever heard her sing I'm Hip?
No, I'm hip.
This
How's it go?
I'm hip. I'm not square. I'm alert. I'm awake. I'm aware. I'm on top of every trend. Da, 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 da. I even call my girlfriend, man. I'm so hip. It was one of those Dave Frischberg, Bob Dyro
Yes.
tunes, came out in the 60s, but her version of it is just par excellence.
That sounds great. I'm going to look it up. I like your version of it too.
Well,
Hey, you know who you just made me think that I was about to go to a Shakespeare in the Park production of Twelfth Night just a week or so ago with my wife Emily. And outside the theater, guess who we ran into? Kurt Elling. He came up to me and said, "Hey, I wanted to say hello." I said, "Kurt Elling, you've got to be kidding! I'm such a big fan of yours," et cetera, et cetera. And now we're in touch a little bit.
oh my gosh. No, one of my faves too, and I have seen him and interviewed him in the past. Just amazing, true, true, great musician. But I guess I don't want to get too off the track. So let's see. I wanted to ask you about how you select the tunes, because there's a lot from the Great American Songbook with lyrics, but then you also select some really cool instrumentals.
Thanks a lot. It sort of happens organically, so to speak. And for instance, the tunes that are sung on this last album, came about when I started to talk to Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo on the set of Wicked. I was singing everything in between takes of doing this movie. I was singing everything I knew from the American Songbook and Broadway shows, and they knew everything, and we were singing together. If you can imagine, I was just thrilled. And then one day I started to sing, "I don't know why I love you like I do. I don't know why I just do." And Ariana said, "Why are you singing that?" I said, "Well, I love that song. Why?" She said, "My grandfather sang that to me all the time." I said, "Well, We've got this band. I don't know if you know. She said, "Yeah, if you want to record with us, that would be, a dream come true." She said, "Yes, I'll do it." That's how that came about. And then Cynthia, we said, "Well, would you, since she's doing it, would you like to do something?" She said, "Yes." And then we kind of thought, Cynthia, and then the other members of the band, we kind of democratically kind of confab about all kind of things. And Alex Frank, who's the creative musical director of our band, and Joe Bagg, they do the arrangements together, and Graham Dechter, we all started to talk and thought, hey, she's British. You know that great song that was important during World War II that Vera Lynn did, We'll Meet Again? Maybe she wants to do that. And we introduced that idea to her, and she loved the idea. That's how that came about. And then Scarlett Johansson, after we talked at that premiere, called up and said, here's what I'd like to do. And she picked the song. She said, I'd like to do that out of the tree of life. I just picked me a plum. And she said, I'd like to do it bossa nova, which I love. I'm crazy about that. And that's how that came about. The other things, we all have favorites. We'd like to get to all sorts of things. We have a lot of, passions up our sleeve. But let's see, for instance, yes, there are many of them are from the American Songbook, but some of them, like you say, for instance, on this last on tour, we may be playing this Joe Henderson song called The Kicker, which I like, kind of from the Blue Note bouquet, adjacent to the songbook. Yeah, I'm crazy about that. And these guys are the best of the best, and they blow on that, and it delights me no end.
I remember seeing Joe Henderson back in the late 80s or early 90s, and he did a workshop in Edmonton when I went to
No.
it. I know I'm a singer, but just to hear, and they said, "What do you listen to?" And he said, "Man, you guys would disown me if you knew that like right now I have Johnny Cash in my car." It's so awesome.
That's so good. Hey, wow, that's so interesting. Hey, you've mentioned Canada a couple of times. My wife is from Canada, and our band has played there. And of course, I've worked there a couple of times, The Fly we made there. And I love Toronto and everything Canadian.
I'm really curious. Both act jazz music and music in general requires a certain amount of improvisations.
Yes.
I'm imagining there's a lot of the same disciplines you bring to it. You can name some of those, but what are the differences that you feel when you're on stage playing music as to be compared to being on stage acting?
That's a good question. For me, in my experience, yeah, there's a lot of overlap. I studied, for instance, with Sanford Meisner. Some of your listeners may know him. He's a famous acting teacher. He was part of the group theater, along with Stella Adler and Harold Klerman, Lee Strasberg. And I was lucky enough to get, when I first moved to New York, right after high school, into the Neighborhood Playhouse where he was teaching. And anyway, one of the cornerstones of his technique was improvisation, this very particular improvisation that he devised that I just took to. It really was very deep and fascinating to me. And I later taught for a couple of decades whenever I wasn't working, because I wanted to get inside it as thoroughly as I could. And so, this improvisational technique is a big deal to me. And then in movies, depending on the director, if it's Wes Anderson, for instance, I hear the Coen brothers or people when you're doing a play, if you're doing Shakespeare, you're doing David Mamet.